Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week, my friend?
Great, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm ready to talk some Penn State football today. How about you?
Yeah, let's do that. I am too. We're right on the cusp of sort of like the doldrums. And let's be honest, college football never really goes quiet, especially when you're regarded as one of the top teams in the country. But doesn't this feel like a little bit like all is calm in Penn State's waters right now? And I would say in the last couple off seasons, it really didn't feel like that ever. There's no crazy NIL news or court cases or, you know, it just seems very quiet and calm right now.
Give it a little time, Andy.
I know. Give it a week, right?
Exactly. So we actually have a fun topic for today, and we're talking football. And what I like is this gives you an opportunity to go where you want, okay? You spent many years as a sports writer, okay?
Lots of them.
So you good at creating stories on the topic. And here's what my challenge is for you. I want you to look at every position on the Penn State roster, and give me the story that if you were still Andy Shea sports writer, what's the story you would tell about that position? So we've got 10 positions to hit. You and I sometimes have a tendency to get off track. So, Andy, let's get right to it, see if we could get to all 10 stories in this show. Of course, let's start on the offensive side of the ball, the most obvious position. Let's start with quarterback. What's the story you would tell if I asked you to write the story about the quarterback position?
So you started at the captain obvious position, and this one is, it's so simple. It's the captain obvious answer. Can this extremely gifted and talented quarterback perform when the lights are biggest and brightest and help lead Penn State to a win in a big game that really matters? And that might seem kind of brutal, but that is the reality. That is his sort of, you know, heading into his third year as a starter. It is in a nutshell. I'm not saying, Jimmy, I need him to go out and throw for 346 and 5 touchdowns against Ohio State. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when the game is over, was the quarterback position part of a solution that gave Penn State a chance to win that big game? You know, as I look back, the Big Ten championship game, I think he was that player. I consider the Big Ten championship a big stage. I know you think conference championships aren't worth much more than a scoop of peachy Paterno ice cream, but that's you. I think they're a huge stage. On that stage, Drew Aller performed at another level. But once in a career is not nearly enough. Not nearly enough. I'm not saying he has to go beat Ohio State. I'm saying he has to perform in that game so he is not part of the problem or the problem when you point to whether they won or whether they lost. They lost that game to Oregon. Drew Aller had nothing to do with that. He performed at that level and was that quarterback. That's all they need for him to do is to be that guy and let his gifts and talent shine when the lights are brightest. Can he do that? That is his storyline. That is the position storyline for 2025.
Andy, I think you hit that one right on the head. That, and you did it without even mentioning the loss to Notre Dame, where he did not perform well.
Yeah, and no, he was the reason they lost that game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just the interception at the end of the game. There's still... He took 4 points off the board with that easy pass to Nick Singleton that he threw behind him. That would have been a touchdown. They settled for a field goal directly, 4 points, Andy, and he did not perform well in that game. I'm going to throw you a runner-up story, who's QB2? That is a distant second.
that's pass me the no-dos. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Just tell me who it is next. For me, it's all about that. But you get to choose what your storylines are, Jimmy.
Okay. Let's move on. Let's get to the next position, Andy.
Ooh.
We're going running back. Two tremendous running backs returning. What could possibly be the story here, Andy?
Okay. Shh. There's two NFL running backs that are playing college football. And they're in the same backfield. Don't tell anybody, Jimmy.
Shh. Yeah.
Be quiet. Shh. These are two NFL running backs, right, that are playing in the same backfield. Each of them went over 1,000 yards last season. The story won't be, will they be the center of the offense? They will be the center of the offense. Can this dynamic duo, healthy and whole, right, without, can they get to 3,000 total combined yards in 2025? Can they do that? So the secondary part of the storyline is, you know what's coming at you. You know that this, who they are and what they can do and what they are and what they aren't. Defenses are going to know what's coming at them. Can they be stopped? The combination of these two over the course of four quarters, they are a difference maker. They are true equals in my book, because at the end of a 60-minute game, each of them has done enough to carry their own weight. When you put that weight together, no wonder defenses are getting overwhelmed, right? So be quiet. Shh. Everybody be quiet. There's two NFL running backs playing college football at Penn State, but don't tell anybody.
What's interesting, you talked about it, by the end of the game, both have carried their weight, both have contributed. And what I find fascinating, and I should look this up, I should go through the games of last season, but it felt like they actually on the sidelines looked at number of carries. Okay, at this point, Singleton has 14 carries. Allen only has 10. Allen's out on the field. It seems like at the end of the game, they both have the same number of carries or very close, that they seem to really split up the load as evenly as possible. But here's what I would do is my story, Andy. And I think what's most intriguing about this backfield is, how does Andy Kotelnicki choose to best use these two players? How do you get them both on the field at the same time? Do they remember a year ago, we would have direct snaps to Tyler Warren quite often. Do you use one of these running backs now for direct snaps? Do you have them both on the field and one lines up outside as a receiver? I think it's going to be fascinating. As you said, they're two NFL weapons, right?
Shh, be quiet, Jimmy. No, don't tell everyone that they're NFL running backs playing college football. Yeah. Here's what you do. And you're right. Like, what does Andy do? He's a little bit of a mad scientist, especially when it comes to using running backs, which is kind of cool. Take a little, like one of those little post-it notes, draw a bunch of boxes on it, just square boxes, right? However many you can fit on that little post-it note, that's how many boxes Andy gets to figure out how many he wants to check and use when it comes to these two. So he gets his pick. Oh, look, there's 24 boxes on this page. Well, Andy, looks like you have 24 boxes to choose from. How many of these 24 are you going to choose? And he could choose all 24 over the course of the season, Jimmy. There's nothing this duo cannot do. It is what sort of, I guess it is like, you know, what's your fancy? Do you want steak, chicken, fish, pasta? What do you want off the menu tonight, Andy? Here's your post-it note. Pick a box.
Yes, and he is, which should be comforting to Penn State fans, is in Andy Kotelnicki, you have a guy who's not restricted by the norms, okay? He will draw outside the lines. He had last year in Tyler Warren one of the great weapons in college football, right?
Yeah.
And he found every way in the world to make use of that weapon. This year, you look at weapons, wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, quarterbacks. His two best weapons are both described as running backs. Yeah. How does he make best use of them, Andy?
I agree. What's he going to do? They're both NFL running backs.
Okay. Let's move on. Andy, let's hit the offensive line. And if we would have done this show a couple years ago, you probably would have just shake your head and said, gee, could we find five college level capable guys to put on the offensive line to throw out there? That's not the case this year. A much, much different story. What angle are you going to take, Andy, talking about the offensive line?
Can this be the best offensive line in the country? I said it. Can this be the best? They have more talent, more depth. They have a good bit of experience. This offensive line, they have it all. For me, it starts with Nick Dawkins, right? That roster retention, him coming back, that's your anchor. You've got three starting tackles to choose from. You've got a rock-solid potential NFL veteran at guard, and you've got a surefire young lock NFL talent at the other guard. You've got reserves who would start on at least half the teams in the Big Ten. So to me, they are the key to this team performing at the elite next level. They're the key. They were the power behind the ship sailing the second half of last year. They were. They have all the pieces to even be better. Can they be elite? Can they be dominant and be that offensive line that in that little 10-second during the first possession moniker of a football game when it's on TV, you get like, you know, when they flash the starters across all of you? This is the best offensive line in college football. By the third or fourth game when the Penn State's on TV, the announcer's covering it, will they show the offensive line pictures and say, this is one of the best, if not the best offensive line in college football? Can they be that? That is a storyline. They have every single component and piece you would ever need or want.
Andy, I think you hit that one again. You nailed it. The question that are they the best? Could they be the best in the country? My sense is the answer is yes, they could be. Offensive line is one of those things that's really hard. I don't know. I know Notre Dame has a very good offensive line. You know, I'm sure there are other teams that do also. So kind of judging the very best when you talk offensive line is tough. This group, though, has got to be among them. All right, that's it. Quarter one, Andy. Lots more to go when we get back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Andy Shea, quarter number two of our show. Andy, what we're doing today is we're finding a storyline for every position on the Penn State roster. Quarter number one, we talked about quarterbacks, running backs, quarterback, easy one, Andy. Can Drew Aller perform in a big game? Running backs, it's about those two superstar running backs. Shh, both NFL running backs, Andy.
There's two NFL running backs playing college football at Penn State. Don't tell anybody.
And then we did the offensive line we talked about. Essentially, can this be the best offensive line in the country? Can it be? Yes. Will it be? We'll see. That's the storyline, Andy. We have two positions left on the offense. And, Andy, I actually think these are the two most fascinating positions to write about on the offensive line. On the offense. And let's start with tight end. You had all-world tight end last year. All-world. he's moved on. He's playing on Sundays now, Andy.
Yep.
So what's the storyline going to be at tight end?
Next stud up. That's it, Jimmy. Don't expect the tight end position to be less involved or an integral part of this offense because there's not a guy wearing 44 named Tyler Warren there. Just don't expect it. The development of this position under Ty Howe since 2021 and even some before him, but what he's done is simply off the charts, right? Did you know, Jimmy, that Tyler Warren was the fifth tight end from Penn State drafted in the NFL in the last 7 years?
Fifth. I did know that, Andy.
Okay. So you look at this group, Ty's got talent to mold, right? Like they burned five-star Luke Reynolds' red shirt for a reason, right? They burned that for a reason. And it's a very good reason. Next stud up. Khalil Dinkins. We're both fans. We both think he's got a lot more in the tank. And I know you have a man crush on Andrew Rapoport, right? Like you're a big fan. And I simply think it looks like Luke Reynolds is the next stud up. I look at the position as, look, they got three options. It's a next stud up. The storyline is don't expect this position to fall off the map when it comes to Penn State's and the offense just because Tyler Warren graduated. That would be a big mistake. Huge. Huge mistake if you think like that. I think, though, the storyline is next stud up, not who is it going to be, how fast are we going to know it's who the next stud is. Because one of them is going to emerge because the opportunity will be given to them, and there's a crap load of talent in that trio.
There is, Andy. And, you described it as a man crush on Rapoport. And I know – hey, I have man crushes on different players and have throughout the years we've been doing this show, Andy.
I have a man crush on Nick Dawkins. Next.
Well, I think the thing for me, though, quickly about Rapoport is how quickly these guys get forgotten when they're out for a year.
Fair point.
And you have Luke Reynolds kind of step in, and the assumption is, oh, he has passed Rapoport. I'm not saying he hasn't. And I suspect he will be the next real stud tight end. But my story would be, I suspect it may be a three-headed monster again this year as Could opposed be. To the one big guy like Tyler Warren a year ago. As you stated, both you and I are fans of Khalil Dinkins. I think he's been in that awkward position where he's been number two behind an all-world guy. So will we see him break out a little bit more? It's obvious what this coaching staff thinks of Luke Reynolds. I'm curious about Rapoport. And I just wonder, Andy, if we might see that true freshman Olish getting on the field also. Is that possible?
Is there a sixth or seventh guy you want to throw in there, Jim? No, I'm just joking. I'm just busting you.
But, hey, they put multiple tight ends on the field, Andy, and they've told us repeatedly, we are going to get our weapons on the field. Doesn't matter what position they play. If they can help, they're going to get on the field. All right, Andy, I left this one for last on the offense. Smartly. Wide receiver. What's the story you're going to tell?
Box of chocolates. Next, Jimmy. Box of chocolates. You have no idea what you're going to get, right? That, you know, there hasn't been much talent development in the past few years. I know they went heavy with the transfer portal looking for help. They should have. Great job. They did their job. They did a fantastic job of getting what they could. I saw a list of top 100 portal transfers across college football for 2025. Pena, the kid from Syracuse, he's there. He's in the top 50. I think he's like 48 or 49. I saw a lot of receivers moving around on that list. It's still, to me, a box of chocolates. The storyline for me in 2025, expect nothing at the wide receiver position and accept anything and everything. Literally, expect nothing, accept anything and everything.
So you're setting the bar nice and low for the wide receivers. So whatever they do, you'll take that.
Yeah. If they're 25% of this offense last year, 33%, I think 34% of the you know, passes Drew Aller completed went to a wide receiver last year. That's kind of hard to win at a high level like Penn State was winning at. It's difficult to win at that level, and that continues. But guess what? They can still do that. They can. They literally can still do that. I really believe this offense can still be a power if the wide receiver position is same as it ever was, right? So I don't expect anything. And you, as a fan, you should accept anything and everything. And if the wide receiver position has some talent development, something that's been practically a teenage wasteland, you know, in terms of development of that position, if something happens that moves it in a different direction, it only makes what already is a dangerous product that much more lethal.
Kind of along the same line, my storyline would be, did they get it right this time with the transfers?
Good point.
A lot of potential there with those guys. We'll see if it's enough to move the needle. Just a sidebar question here, Andy. Yeah. I read that same article also, top 100 transfer portal players.
Was well done. It was listy. Of course you read it. You love listy things.
It's a list, Andy. I will always read a list.
Yes.
My question to you, though, is were you surprised at all that Trey Wallace wasn't on that list?
No. No. He's not a developed talent. He's not an impact player. There was an opportunity last year because of Penn State's lack of development at the position. As the season got bigger, he got smaller, right? Like, no other way to put it, Jimmy. They did not target the wide receivers in the Notre Dame game. That wasn't an accident. Remember that. That's not by accident. That's by design.
Okay, Andy. Let's move on. We're going to sneak in a defensive position or two while we can here in quarter number two. Let's start at defensive end, Andy. Ooh, what's okay. The storyline there? This one's a nice juicy one, isn't it?
Well, it feels like it, but here's my crazy defensive end take. A little, you should have some like worries or concern. You know, Abdul Carter, like a generational type talent, possibly. You know, he only played 1 year at the position. It was his first year at the position, by the way, and he was what, drafted third in the NFL draft, which is a little bit crazy. My story is, why am I not worried about the defensive end position at all, Jimmy? Why do I still feel this is a strength of this defense, and it will be a strength of this defense going into 2025? So the sort of subtle storyline for me is it won't look exactly the same, right? Abdul Carter wasn't like this splashy impact, like your jaw hanging, like, are you kidding me? Did he just do that? But at the end of the day, I think overall at the defensive end position, and deny Dennis Sutton has a lot to do with this, with the way Deion Barnes has developed him, the way he sort of evolved and grown and matured as a player. Overall, it won't feel the same. But at the end of the day, it will be the same strength of this defense. And part of the strength of this defense that it has been the last 2 or 3 years. So that might be a weird take. Like, yeah, well, we lost Abdul Carter, right? Yeah, my storyline is I'm not worried about that. And I feel it will be exactly what it needs to be and what you expect it to be. And I think there will be some transition in figuring out who the second and third and how that rotation works and who plays across from Deny Dennis Sutton and who starts and how do you mix and match. That'll take a little time. But at the end of the day, I still think it's going to be an impactful position.
Andy, at the very end there, you hit my angle if I were to talk about this position. Deny Dennis Sutton, it's not somebody else steps in for Abdul Carter. It's kind of like Deny Dennis Sutton. Could he be that lead dog, that guy who warrants so much attention like Abdul Carter did that'll open things up elsewhere? But I still think that elsewhere, that other side, that is the question. Before I throw out names, I'll ask you, Andy, who do you think that guy on the other side is going to be?
Coming off the injuries and what and the glimpses that I feel it's Zariah Fisher. I think it just would, to me, it feels like if that kid can stay healthy, there's pieces and stuff in the tank that I really are appealing to me. So it's more about, can he come back at a level that is close to before, you know, he got injured. And I think it's him. It really feels like he's got what it takes in what I've seen. I'm like, I want to see more of that. I think he's got it. And if he's somewhere near complete like he was before and can come back from the injury, he's the guy. That's the one in my book.
I think you're right. I think Zariah Fisher is the obvious, you know, choice, or the guy who's going to get first shot at it, especially if he's healthy. I'm curious, the wild card here also, Anai White. Very, very highly regarded, highly recruited a couple years ago out of Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And he chose Texas A&M. He was injured quite a bit while he was there, Andy.
A lot. Yeah, he was injured a lot.
And Penn State has a real good history with transfer portal guys at defensive end, Andy.
You're 100% right. And he will get developed if he's healthy. Deion Barnes develops you.
All right, Andy, that's it for quarter number two. Coming up, your questions. We're going to ask Andy when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. You know what that means. Your questions. And it's time to ask Andy. You want to send us a question for Andy? Just download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button, and away you go. I got a feeling some of these questions are going to slow us down, Andy, so let's get right to them. Let's start with Tim in Port Matilda. Andy and Jim, I've got a perfect question that includes football and food.
Oh, boy.
The Twitter question that gets everyone's underwear in a wad is Penn State a blue blood? I say yes. Jim, you could probably articulate this better than me, but Penn State has so many undefeated seasons that have been unrewarded with national championships. If we just claimed a couple more, there would be no question. Food. Andy, you said you prefer smoked wings, dry rub to fried, and I agree with the taste. But I still need that crispiness, which is why I gave the caveat of both methods of cooking in my last food question. Do you hold the secret of crispy smoked wings?
So the first part of the question, they are a blue bud. There's no doubt about it. There's some measurables that go in tradition and performance. They're blue blood. Penn State is a blue blood. The key to the crispy smoked wings is your first minute on each side smoking hot grill, and your wings can't be cold. In other words, you have to let them come up to room temperature. Yeah, make sure they're room temperature, smoking hot grill. You know, because you have to cook your, you know, on smoker, grill, but grilling your wings, you're kind of smoking them. You know, you're adding the flavor, but smoking hot to start on each side gets you that sear. Cook it, get your temperature down, cook it a little slower for a few minutes, and then hot again at the end.
Andy, I'm going to use this opportunity to throw out one of my favorite wing recipes. I use the smoker. Get this. Bacon cheddar smoked wings. Just use your imagination there. Bacon and cheddar in the smoker, on the wings, but you finish them off in the broiler, in the oven. Get a little crispiness. Get that cheese all nice and melty. Well, You know what, Andy? One of these weeks, we're going to devote an entire segment to Wings.
Off-season's a great time to do that.
Okay, make sure you remind me that.
I'll have to remind you of that.
All right, let's move on. I got a feeling this one might take us a little while. Steve from Columbia.
What's up, Steve?
Steve. He starts with this question as explicitly for Andy. He says, Jim, go get a cup of coffee. Steve, by the way, loves your references, your Bruce Springsteen references that you bring in, Andy. So here's his question. Andy, name your five favorite Springsteen songs. I'm a traditionalist. Oh. I go with Thunder Road, Born to Run, The Promised Land, Living Proof, and Lonesome Day, Secret Garden, Streets of Philadelphia, or if I should fall behind, if I want to slow it down. Are you buying the 7 album release on June 27th? And also, a top 10 day of my life was when my wife and I saw the Broadway acoustic show. Steve is a Springsteen fanatic. Obviously, he tells me to take off for this question. Steve, it's my show. I'll do what I want, buddy. I'll do what I want. Andy, I'll let you take care of this one. You're the Springsteen expert.
Yep.
Five top Springsteen songs.
So his list does have a little depth. I have a tremendous amount of respect for the Broadway show. I just couldn't bring myself to buy that ticket. I kind of wanted to. I can say this. There hasn't been a tour since 1981. A tour of his. I haven't missed a tour since 1981, so that's embarrassing. However, do you want me to start at five and go backwards, or do you want me to start at one and go forward?
However you want, Andy. Let's count them down from five to one.
All right. Number five is Meeting Across the River. Mine is a little, I have some. Number four is Racing in the Street. I loved his call for Lonesome Day. My number three is The Rising. I love an uplifting song. My slow it down sort of song is, both my top two. Tougher Than the Rest is my number two song. And that's off the Tunnel of Love album. That's from back in the 80s. Sorry. And my number one song is a 12 and a half minute marathon. And it is Drive All Night off the River album. It took me 40 plus years of seeing Springsteen before I got to hear Drive All Night live. It is always, since 1981, it has been my favorite song. It has always been my number one Springsteen song. It has stood the test of time. It is some of the most beautiful, mellow, sort of melodic, combined with poetry, combined with it being a love song, combined with Clarence on the sax or Jake these days. But either way, those are my top five. I have multiple lists. I have top tens. I have top 10 albums, top five albums, top five live songs, top five regular songs. What are your top five songs to see live? So you could have asked me any of those, but that is my top five Springsteen list. I do drop Springsteen songs in here, but I also drop other ones. Today, for example, if you go back and listen, I dropped some Talking Heads in on us. And I'll drop some different song references in there, but I do lean on Springsteen ones, yes.
All right. I'm going to throw out a couple of mine, which will tell you the difference between Andy and I, who I probably don't go nearly as deep as Andy does. I hit the more popular ones. I like I'm on Fire.
Good song. Good choice, Jimmy. I'll give you a thumbs up for that one.
I like Hungry Heart. Went out for a ride, never came back. Dancing in the Dark, just because I think 20-year-old me had a crush on Courtney Cox going up and dancing with them, Andy.
Yeah, I did too, but that song, that's embarrassing, Jimmy. All right, keep going.
And it's an anthem. You're probably going to hate that I put in Born to Run.
Yeah, the national anthem. Everyone loves the national anthem.
But I want to give my quick Springsteen story. Andy, I have never seen Springsteen in concert. But
we shouldn't talk.
I believe it was 84. that the Born to Run tour was on.
Born in the USA. I got your back.
This was probably the biggest tour in years. It was
Monster Stadiums, the best.
It was crazy.
Three Rivers, Meadowlands.
Yeah. I was living in Philadelphia at the time, Andy. One of my clients was a ticket agent. He got myself and my buddy who we worked together. He got us each a pair of tickets. Great seats. Phenomenal. This was crazy. My buddy had a fiance at the time who was a Springsteen freak. He's going to take her. Me, I just said, I got an extra ticket. I could take whoever I want in the world. I got an extra Springsteen ticket. My buddy, he walks in on his fiance with another guy.
Oh.
Like a week before the concert. Obviously, just, went crazy, had an issue, obviously. She, ends the engagement. Her response was, well, are we still going to the concert?
I respect that.
He, brokenhearted, said, I don't think I could go to the concert. Her answer, oh, well, could I have the tickets then?
I respect that. I have full respect for that, Jimmy.
I didn't. Neither did he. I'm not going, he says to her. You're not going either. He decided he's too brokenhearted to go. Me, out of friendship loyalty, I didn't go either.
Oof, man. I don't know, Jimmy. I'd have been like, hugs and kisses, prayers. Come here, let me give you a hug. I'm headed over to the vet. See you in 4 hours.
Well, that was me. Quality of friendship there, Andy. And the postscript to the story is that night, the night of the concert, we ended up playing in a co-ed softball game where that night, ironically, I met the girl that I dated for the next 2 years.
Yeah, you should have gone to the Springsteen show. I'm sorry. Love you, brother. I'm going. Was it ticket free? Was it ticket free? Dude, it's free. It was even free and you walked away. That's embarrassing. All right.
the rest of the story is I had people say, oh, what a romantic story. You ended up with this girl for 2 years.
Nope.
My answer was, in hindsight, I wish I had gone to the concert.
Yeah, there's no romance there, brother.
All right. Scott from Dallas, PA. Hey, Andy, I don't trust Drew Aller in a big spot. Do you?
No. Easy answer. You shouldn't. You can't. He hasn't earned your trust in the big spot. It was our highlight in week one. The storyline is, can this guy be part of a solution? He doesn't have to win the game. He doesn't have to USC it from a year ago against Ohio State. He doesn't have, like I said, he doesn't have to throw for 350 and five tutties. Just don't be the reason that you can clearly point your pointer and say, man, the quarterback position killed us. That's what he can't be. And he hasn't shown that enough in big games. That's right. No, you can't trust him yet.
You are 100% right. I want to.
I want to trust him.
I believe it's there in him.
I do too.
He can do it. You made reference to the USC game, and Andy, I just yesterday, Andy, I put the USC game on. Just that Big Ten game in 60 minutes. I went back and rewatched the USC game. Hey, a lot of pressure in that game. They were down multiple touchdowns, Andy, and he came through. It's in him. He's able to do it, Andy. We have evidence that he's able to do it. Now he's just got to do it on the biggest stage.
The USC game, though, is time in a bottle, Jim Croce reference. The USC game can't be the time in a bottle game for Drew Aller. It can't be. In 2025. It can't be the one we keep pointing back to and go, remember what he did in the USC game? Remember what he did in the USC game? You want him to be at the level where you forget about the USC game. That's the difference.
And he's going to get his chance, Andy, come September.
He is.
at Beaver Stadium against Oregon. All right, that's it for Ask Andy. Stick around. We're going to finish up with the storylines for the defense when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. And just to let you folks know, which I often like to do, I like to share what we talk about in between segments. Andy scolded me for the mistake I made 40 years ago by not going to the Springsteen concert. And I agree with Andy.
Yeah.
I should have gone. Yeah. My mistake. All right, Andy, let's move on. We are talking about your storylines for every position. Quarters one and two, we went through the offense. We dipped our toe into the defense at defensive end. Now let's move inside, Andy. Let's hit defensive tackle. What is your storyline there?
Work in progress. Expect this to be a work in progress. It's the trepidation position that you kind of wonder, you dance around a little bit. Look, I didn't expect him to come back, but Zane Durant coming back, that's huge for this group. He will garner a lot of attention. It's going to be a work in progress. The interior of the defensive line has been so grounded and consistent, right, with that quartet of anchors. Durant's included in that group, right, during this three-year double-digit win run, right? They have been so steady and like their slow incremental progress really wasn't all that noticeable unless you were paying attention. Deion Barnes has got some work ahead of him, right? But you can't argue with his development up front. He's already shown in his young career as a defensive line coach. There is a lot in the pool to choose from. You're a big name guy. For me, the defensive, there is a bright shining star, but for me, the interior of the defensive line is the Penn State defense in 2025. Work in progress. What does that look like position?
You know, Andy, it intrigues me the similarity between defensive tackle and defensive end. Both of them start with a stud coming back who could have moved on to the next level.
Right.
Ny Dennis Sutton, Zane Durant. Then partially it's who's going to be the guy opposite him. And then also, is there the depth? And I think the depth question, I talk more at defensive end about who's going to be that guy opposite Ny Dennis Sutton. Defensive tackle, I'm leaning more towards the depth.
Who are the four guys? Yeah.
They always had four, maybe even five guys in that rotation, Andy, and they proved very effective with it. Zane Durant is obviously the anchor. I'm thinking, you know, Alonzo Ford, if healthy, is the guy on the other side of him. But where's the rest of that depth going to come from, Andy? And, you know, I could just start throwing names out.
Right.
Landon, Caleb Artis, you know, there's the transfer, Owen Wafel. But, you know, they've got to develop.
Zane Durant, work in progress. What does that look like? And if you're going to see some next level coaching from Deion Barnes and development, and trust me, you've already seen it already. You're going to, and this becomes, you know, a hold water strength as defense, he'll deserve a lot of credit.
Yeah. And I do have confidence.
Yeah, no, he's a great young coach. Fantastic. He's got some heavy lifting ahead of him, but he's a great young coach. Fantastic.
Okay, Andy, on defense, here's where the most intrigue, I think, resides. Linebacker. What's your question? You know, we're talking now 4-2-5.
Yeah,
how exactly does that factor into it? But what's your storyline for the linebacker position?
At linebacker, if there's no reason to dip into the well behind them, and in a 4-2-5, and it's the two, remain calm, all is well, right? For me, it starts with Dom DeLuca, right? Who, like, after 11 years of playing college football, I say that jokingly, but doesn't it seem like he's been around since COVID? Maybe he has. He's one of those players who finds a way to somehow get better and better. I thought his ceiling was like 2 or 3 floors down already, right? And he's still got another year of climbing. So, like, he is a self-made stud. And that there's a lot of merit to that. If Tony Rojas and Dom DeLuca are playing 90% of your meaningful snaps at the position, remain calm, all is well. Thin in every way possible behind these two is what the linebacker position is. Every way, shape, or form you can imagine it being, you know, lacking depth, being thin, however you want to put it. So, if it goes beyond these two having to play meaningful football snaps, sooner than later it would be even worse. That's going to be problematic. So the storyline for me here is if it's those two, remain calm, all is well. If you see those two most of the season, you will not have any problems.
Andy, I think for me, first of all, you're right. Those two, their experience. I think Tony Rojas has so much talent and he hasn't scratched the surface yet. He's made way too many mistakes, taken too many bad angles.
But not consistent. He lacks solid NFL credential beyond his God-given talent.
Those things are fixable and you hope with experience that's the case. Dom DeLuca, Andy, he always finds a way to help out, always finds a way to contribute. And as you said, it's now he's been on the field forever. He's been around forever. He's got the experience. Now, my question, though, in this position, James Franklin came right out and said, we need another linebacker. And he got another linebacker. He brought in Amari Cooper from North Carolina. Now, his numbers from a year ago, Andy, I don't know if you saw them.
But I did. He had like 70-some tackles.
76 tackles. Yeah. 11 tackles for loss. Like 6.5 sacks.
Yeah, good player.
This is a guy, but he did not come here to not play, okay? My question is how are they going to use him? You know, how – If they're playing this 4-2-5, how do they get that third linebacker in? What are his features? What is it about him that will get him on the field, Andy?
If they're going to be a base 4-2-5, so the two linebackers are going to be your core feature guys. They will play. You know, they're going to have to play some three linebacker set, right?
Yes.
He is the hole that James was waving about was, we don't have a third linebacker. Like, we don't have a standard third linebacker to put between these two when we need to do that on occasion. That's his role. It will be incorporated as part of the defense. They'll put some packets together and sell it to him as a starting role, but it's not going to be their bread and butter. It will be their secondary first package, but they literally probably didn't have anybody for it coming out of spring. And that's what, why James waved the red flag, and that is who this football player is. He will be that guy.
And Andy, we've talked for years about this Penn State defense. They don't have 11 starters. They typically have about 20 starters. And, you know, that third linebacker. will be essentially a starter.
So Manny and Tom, because they had it, yeah, Manny was just a mad scientist. Jim's more of an inside the box. He sticks with more than he has. So anyway.
All right, let's hit the defensive backfield, Andy. Let's start at cornerback. What's your story about the cornerbacks?
They're sneaky, right? They're sneaky. When you think of Penn State defensive backfield, you can't start and sometimes end talking about the safeties, right? These two corners, and I'm talking about A.J. Harris, who the transfer in last year, better season than you thought. It was like this quiet, solid, like when you look back at it, you're like, man, that guy was good. Elliot Washington III. When Terry Smith said the light's gone on, that's his position coach. Like the physical piece, the light's gone on. That's a huge statement from him. That tells me a lot. They're going to be better than you think. They're going to neither will be flashy, right? They're going to do a little bit of everything well, and Jim Knowles will test their mettle. He will put them on islands at times, and do not be afraid of that one little bit. This is going to be a sneaky good position for Penn State, where unless you look beyond the obvious, you won't know how good they are playing, and I love both of them.
Andy, it seems like a lot of the questions that we have at the different positions is about the depth, you know, the rotation, so on. At this position, I'm going to go the other way. Can A.J. Harris be a star? Could he be that lockdown lead cornerback you put on the opposing team's best receiver? Can he be a first-round draft pick and play that way? He's being projected that way, Andy. Will we see that? That, to me, is my story.
Wow. I thought he took huge first steps to being that guy last year.
I do, too, Andy.
Quietly, too. Very quietly, by the way.
Yes, but can he be that guy? Could he be the alpha in that position? All right, we left a minute and a half. Final position, Andy, on defense, safety. Give me the storyline.
Really? Again? They have three of them again? Are you kidding me? Do they have three stud safeties every single year, or is it just my imagination, right? Like, yes, you kind of forgot about KJ Winston, and they lost, you know, Jalen Reed and KJ Winston, who they lost for the year last year. By the way, both of them were drafted third and sixth rounds, respectively. Yeah, the storyline for me is go ahead, think they're in transition at the position. You go ahead and think that. Big mistake. Huge, huge. I see it's Zakee Wheatley, DeJuan Lane, and King Matt, the trio, right? Lane is 6'2", like 215. He's your box guy, right? King Mack is a bit of the wild card. Only played special teams at Alabama when he left Penn State. How is this trio mixed and matched? Jim gets to decide that, but make no mistake. These three are good. These three are studs, and they will play a lot. And you just have to look at it and go, again, really? When is this position going to take a step back? It ain't in 2025, I can tell you that.
Okay. Andy, I'm real curious to see King Mack play and how he is used.
Wild card.
It's going to be fascinating. All right, that's it, Andy. Thank you, Andy. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.